Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 39 of Season 5 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today on this lovely Thursday morning is Jess Rogers. Welcome back, Jess.
Hey, Rob. Thanks so much.
Yeah. I'm sorry to have made you like miss your zebras yesterday. So, hopefully you've gotten over that.
It was a funny. I hadn't thought about that story in a while.
Okay, I'm glad that I'm glad that I was able to help make you nostalgic for that, for those days. So, minute 39 begins with the elevator doors closing on John and Sam, and ends with John lifting himself up out of the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday we ended things with John and Sam basically being kicked out of the control tower and put in an elevator by themselves for some strange reason. You know, mm-hmm. we don't need anybody to make sure that, you know, where can they go?
Right. Now you answered your question from yesterday. Why don't they put any police in with them? Because otherwise this couldn't happen.
No, well, of course, that is the real reason. But, you know, is it because where can they go? You know, that's probably that's probably what was going through Lorenzo's mind. Or actually, Lorenzo didn't even say to the guys, go down with him. He just said, put him in the elevator. You know, I guess the idea is that, all right, you know, I guess Lorenzo didn't really read John's dossier a few months ago. Or a few weeks ago when we were talking about it, you know, because it maybe would have said, you know, that he has a perchant for, you know, crawling around in elevator shafts, in air conditioning ducts. You know, you have all these different things. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
It's true.
But, you know, but again, that if they would have done that, then John wouldn't be able to do what he does in this minute.
It's true.
And then, you know, we have a shot of Trudeau pretty pissed off. And then we see Lorenzo on, like, the stairs because it's two levels. The, you know, the control tower, all the techies in the control tower are on two different levels. So mm-hmm. we see Lorenzo on one of them, and he picks up his walkie-talkie and goes, for God's sake, just get them both out of here. And he goes, lobby security, come in. And then we get a shot of a cop down on, you know, down in the airport itself. Mm-hmm. And he goes, Tomlinson here. Have you ever heard the name Tomlinson before?
Yeah, I went to high school with a guy named John Tomlinson.
Ooh, okay. Do you know what it means?
I don't
know what the name, like the etymology of the name Tomlinson is?
It'd be the son of Tomlin, but I don't know what that means.
Okay, that's what I found out. And then I was wondering, okay, if that's the case, what is Tomlin?
Right. I have no idea.
Any idea. Okay. Tomlin is actually a masculine name derived from the name Tom, which means little Tom. Tomlin is little Tom. Okay. It says here, this adorable title makes a great namesake for parents wishing to give babies some individuality with their name. Tomlin dates back to the Middle English era from a personal name Thomelin, and may also be anglicized form of the Irish surname Mac Toyman, ultimately from Thomas. And do you know what Thomas means?
I don't, even though it's my brother's name.
Okay, so Thomas comes from Aramaic, Greek, and Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, means twins or Gemini.
Oh, wow. That's so funny because I'm Gemini and he's not.
All right. Well, I guess your parents didn't research
it. No, they didn't.
They didn't Google
your father's middle name. Yeah.
They didn't Google it, you know, when he was born.
No, that's funny.
Right. So, yeah, Tomlin is not a first name that is used very often.
No.
It's quite unique, I guess you can say. There is a fort named Tomlinson, and I found a whole bunch of names of people there's three people that are listed here with their first name is Tomlinson. One of them is a film theorist and educator named Tomlinson Holman, and another is a civil rights activist, Tomlinson D. Todd. But as a last name, I have three pages of names of people whose name is Tomlinson as their last name. None of them really jumped out at me as someone that I, you know, I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
With anyone, there are, you know, politicians, and you know, there's a comedian named Taylor Tomlinson,
Yeah, she's really funny.
Who was born in 1993.
Yeah, she's not very old.
There's a lot of you know, like soccer players that are mentioned here. There is an American inventor who actually originated. Wow, he originated the strudel in you know, the A sign. You know, that you use for email.
Yeah.
The at sign, I guess you can call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the originator of that. Wow.
Huh.
I've never really thought about like where that come. You know, that someone thought that's what we're going to do. I don't know.
No, never.
Yeah.
Is there a dentist from Georgia? That would be the guy I went to high school with.
what's his first name?
John.
There are four Johns here listed here. There is no, this guy is no, these are all a little bit older than you are. One of them was born in 1932, one of them was born in 1946, one of them was born in 1939, and then the fourth one is a comic book writer for he writes the comic 2000 AD, John Tomlinson. So could he be doing that? Does he do that, you know, is that his night job?
No,
you know, during the day he's a
Georgia.
He's a dental surgeon during day, but comic book writer at night, maybe.
Suppose. He was always pretty smart.
There's also a singer named Fred Tomlinson, who passed away in 2016. He was in his 90s. So, you know, that goes back a little bit further.
Fair.
The founder of the Church of God of Prophecy was someone named Ambrose Jessup Tomlinson.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, nope, never heard of him either. Yeah, I'm sure that there are others that people have heard of, but those are the ones that jumped out at me. I think for me the best one is the, you know, the inventor of the strudel sign.
That's so crazy.
It's so creepy that what? That someone
No, crazy that someone would invent that
it makes sense.
And that, you know, there's a person. Of course it does. Yeah. Just
there's certain
not
things that,
one I
that,
separated out as a thought, you know?
Right. Even for people like us who lived in a time before most people knew about email.
Yeah.
I mean, there was email around then, but most people didn't know about it. Myself included, and I'm assuming you were also in that category. You know, I only started using email maybe in the early 90s, 93, 94 or something like that. You know, back when I talked about the other day about getting a computer at that point. So the same basic idea, but you never think about where these type of things come from because it's just, you know, it's there. It's something that everyone uses. You know, you have to have a strudel in order to you know, to have an email address. You know?
To have a viable email, yeah, 100%.
Correct. Yeah. And then Carmine responds by saying, "This is Captain Lorenzo here. With two unauthorized personnel in the tower. Now, would you get your thumb out of your ass, get them out of the elevator, or you're going to find a goddamn pink slip in your Christmas stocking?" So his delivery, Dennis Franz's delivery here is great. I love it. I'm really impressed with the way that he does this here.
He does you know, it, but it's super unprofessional.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, it goes with the entire way that he's been acting this entire movie.
Oh, very much. Yeah.
You know, again, we've only known him for 39 minutes or less even, you know, but it doesn't surprise me that this is the way he's talking and acting.
Yeah, no, not really.
You know, so I we never got around to this, but do you know what the name Lorenzo means?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, so if you're looking at it from an Italian word as an Italian word, so it either means wise, strong, or victorious.
Oh wow!
But if you're doing it from Spanish, it means either noble or humble, noble and humble. And in Latin, it means man of laurel.
Man of laurel?
Yeah, maybe because he sits on his laurels all day. I don't know.
No, maybe laurels are good. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know any names of people named Lorenzo? Can you think of any?
Lorenzo Lamas, who's an
That's
actor.
right. That's right. An actor born in 1958. That's the only one I knew on this
It's the
list.
only one I could think of.
Yeah. No, there's actually, I found two rap, sorry, there are three rappers whose names are Lorenzo's. One of them is just known as Lorenzo. He's a French rapper. There's a Italian rapper known as Giovanotto, no, Giovanotti, whose real name is Lorenzo Cherubini. And
Oh.
then you have an American rapper known as MC Ren, whose name is Lorenzo Gerald Patterson.
Okay.
So I guess, you know, if you want your kid to be a rapper, you should name them Lorenzo.
Apparently you got good odds then. No, I don't. I didn't know that about Lorenzo. That's interesting.
Yeah. Do you know who Lorenzo Adone was?
I don't.
Have you ever heard of the movie Lorenzo's Oil?
Yes.
Okay, so Lorenzo Adone was the child.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's a movie with Susan Sarandon and Nick Nolte, but it's based on a true story about two
Yep.
parents that created a medicine slash drug to help their son who was suffering from ALD.
Right.
And so and Lorenzo was born in 1978 and lived till he was 30 in 2008. You know, the fact that this treatment gave him a life to live for 30 years is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know,
No, I
very,
remember
very,
the movie. It's pretty good. Sad,
yeah,
of course.
yes, that's right. Basically, I love the fact that he mentions that, you know, you're going to find a pink slip. Now, when you think of the term pink slip, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Just being fired.
You've never heard the term pink slip before?
Oh,
In
no, I mean, only as
No,
if
I'm
it.
saying in other connotations.
Isn't there, I'm getting callbacks to Greece where it's the ownership
Yes,
papers. Yeah, your
there you go.
pinks, pink
That's
slip.
right. That's
Yeah.
right.
I've
That's right.
never heard
So
the car reference as often as I've heard the unemployment reference.
correct. Right. They both fit in here. So
Yeah.
a pink slip from an automotive perspective, it in the US is the certificate of title, which
Yeah.
establishes a person or business as the legal owner of a vehicle. Okay, and then you have the employment one, which is a form of termination notice.
Right.
Okay, so a pink slip refers to the American practice by a human resources department of including a discharge notice in an employer's pay envelope to notify the worker of their involuntary termination of employment or layoff. The pink slip has become a metonym for the termination of employment in general. How far back do you think the term goes?
It seems like it'd be a long time, but when could we make pink paper? So maybe the 50s?
1910.
Whoa, that's a lot further than I'd have guessed.
Yeah. That's right. And the phrase itself started in vaudeville.
Really?
So when they would issue a cancellation notice to an act, the notice was on a pink slip.
Oh.
That's actually one of the you know they always have a lot of different what's going they're different stories as to where things really came from. So
Sure.
that's one of the stories. Another possible etymology is that many applications are done in triplicate, with each copy
Yeah.
on a different color of paper, and one of them is usually pink, which is the one that they
True.
give to the customer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Then
Yeah, I can see that.
if you're dealing with the car, so you have a certificate of title for the vehicle, also known as a car title, an automobile title, or a pink slip. It's a legal form establishing a person or business as the legal owner of a vehicle. Vehicle titles in the U.S. are commonly used by the Secretary of State in the state the vehicle was purchased by the Department of Motor Vehicles, you know, the DMV.
Yep.
You know, different states have different rules of what they use and stuff like that. But, you know, the basically, if you lose the title, you can, you can fill out a form and get a new one.
Sure.
There are now states which let you do this online. Not all of them do. There are only 10 states that allow you to do it online. Maine, Wisconsin, Virginia, Michigan, New York, Indiana, Maryland, South Carolina, Massachusetts, and Washington, D.C. Okay, the term pink slip, though, mostly is a reference to California certificates, which
Yeah, I was going to say, I think mine's blue.
Before 1988, when they were pink. They actually changed the colors after 1988. California titles are teal, yellow, and pink with a green border.
Huh.
And Illinois titles are blue, pink, and blue with a purple border.
Purple border. Mine, I feel like, is blue with a blue border.
Okay. Well, you're in New York, so you know, that's a different thing. So many illegal street races in the 1950s, which were glorified in movies, featured racing for vehicle titles, hence the popularity of the term racing for pink slips.
Right.
Okay. In the TV show The Price is Right, the pricing game Gas Money features contestants trying to avoid the actual retail price of the car, and their price is marked with a pink slip. And as you mentioned, in the 1978 film Grease, the characters mention racing for pink slips ownership papers.
Yeah.
So basically what Carmen is telling Tomlinson is that if he doesn't get them out of the elevator, he's going to give him a new car.
Right. I love it. Nice turnaround on there.
No, that's the thing. When I was doing my research on this one, that's the first thing that jumped out at me, and I was like, "Wait a second, a pink slip is also the car." And I was like, "You know,
right?
You know, so you know, maybe that's what Tomlinson wants to do.
Maybe.
You know, hey, why not a free car? From you know, he knows Lorenzo's a tight ass. He's not going to give him a car, so.
Yeah, and he couldn't put it in his stocking anyway, so it must be a
the pink fired. Slip. The slip he could.
The slip. I guess you're right. You couldn't put the car in there. But the slip.
Yeah.
Fair.
Right. Basically, then Tomlinson says, 10-4. Let's go. Like he grabs another guy next to him and says, let's move it.
Yep.
And then we go back to Lorenzo. You know, and you see him, he's still quite annoyed. And he's looking at the elevator. You know, he's looking on and he goes, God damn.
Because he knows that. I don't understand why he's so angry at his staff who just agreed to do exactly what he said. And
no, whatever. I think he's angry more at the fact that John is the one who, you know, is bothering him.
Right.
I think that's pretty much what, you know, the main thing that's bothering him here.
Yeah.
You know, he's just very frustrated. And then we get a shot in the elevator itself. We see John pushing buttons. You know, we see it's basement 1, 2, and 3. The one has a star next to it. I guess that's the, you know, lobby level or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And he just pushes all the buttons and nothing happens.
Right.
And as he's doing this, you know, we hear Sam talking to him and she goes, anything who can think of? Can't f*** with what guy? And he goes, hang on over there. And she goes, what for? Just hang on. And then the elevator stops. So, you know, he can't, apparently the elevator is set on a, you know, on some sort of setting that doesn't allow whoever's in the elevator to push, to decide where their destination is. But you can still turn off the air. You can still turn off the elevator.
Yeah. And there's no effect to pushing the buttons either, which is just odd.
Yeah.
I've never heard of such an elevator, except if it didn't have buttons, right?
That's
also,
right.
This is something, because I've been criticized for this most of my life. He's wearing his watch on his right hand. Like, I happen to have paused it right where he's pushing the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And chances are good he's right-handed, unless we see him writing with his left earlier
well,
in the movie.
First of all, I think he's a lefty.
Okay.
That is my first thing. But you also can notice here, look at the face of his watch. It's
right,
on
it's
his
facing in.
It's on the inside part of his wrist.
Yeah.
But he did that throughout the previous movie also.
Yeah, you're right. So you're right. He must be a lefty. Because I'm a righty and I wear it on my right hand. And I don't know why, except that I did the first time I put on a watch. And nobody corrected me when I was 6 or whatever. And
interesting.
I've always
I see that. I see that you're wearing a watch on your right hand. Now, I always wear mine on my left hand, but I only wear it when I'm in transit.
Ah.
Like when I get to work, I take off my watch. When I get home, I take off my watch. See, no watch.
Yep. Nope. I
I don't
never
need
take mine
it.
off. Yeah.
Right. No, watch for some reason, if anyone will ever go into my office or you come into my house, you'll see that my watch is either on my desk, on the table somewhere, it's never on me. But when I
Wow.
leave the house, I put the watch on.
Nice. Yeah, my partner does too. He wears his only at work.
No, I don't wear it at work. I wear it to work. Right. So Coleman still wants to try and get a scoop
Yeah.
as John is trying to find a way out. And like I said, he gets to flip the switch. And then, I love the way that they do this. They give us a recap exposition here
Yeah.
where Sam goes, okay, big drug dealer on his way to prison, gunfight at airport, every controller in the coffee shop getting beeped and hauling ass, and you rocking the boat. Connection? Come on, McLean. Just a few words.
Yeah.
And as she's talking, it gives McLean time to, open up the hatch on the ceiling. And like he's starting to swing his way up, on the way there. Now, I love the fact that they mentioned the coffee shop aspect here. That all the traffic controllers in the coffee shop are beeped. Okay, because in the script, I think it was last week, one of the things that Trudeau said is beep every controller that's not on duty right now and get them in here right away.
Right.
Okay, so she references this. The truth is, I don't even think I've even noticed that she made this reference
No.
because it's not something that
You
doesn't
don't see it.
register.
Right.
So I think it's great. It's great that they added in here because it does make sense to
Yeah.
have it there. I don't know why all the controllers are in the coffee shop as opposed to at home when they're off duty, but okay, that's a separate issue. And then she goes, come on, McLean, just a few words. He goes, okay, just a few words. Off.
Right.
And she goes, thanks. But I already got that from Colonel Stewart. And then we see the light bulb over John's eyes,
Yeah.
over his head, and he goes, Stewart, that guy who got canned by Congress, that's who he was. Huh? Who? He? Who? What? Hey? Then he says, it's okay. I've done this before. As he's going through the hatch on
Yeah.
top.
I like this. There's a lot of references throughout the whole movie, and another one almost happened or happens that we'll talk about tomorrow. This idea of referencing the previous movie. You don't need to have
Yes.
seen it, but it's drawing those connections for you,
That's correct.
which I
That's what they
really
do here.
like. Yeah.
That's right. Now, I mean, if she knows who Stewart is, then why is she, as at a loss of words? Why is she babbling? Doesn't make any sense to me. She shouldn't be babbling and saying, who, what, what? She met Stewart. She knows who that is.
Right, true. Oh, you mean that last little bit? That's who he was. I guess that's who he was. What? Basically, she doesn't know that McLean bumped into him and saying she doesn't know why Stuart's important in this moment.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Okay, so I referenced this a little bit earlier in the week. Do you know who Stewart is supposed to be?
I don't, not at all.
Okay, well, think of Noriega and think of everything that happened in the late 80s.
That's the only part I
Okay.
remember is if he was Oliver North. But
There you go. That is, he's Oliver North.
I don't know, they definitely upgraded him for the movie then.
You mean like rank wise?
No, just William Statler is much better looking and more, I don't know, swarthy, like a badass. Oliver North was a paper pusher. I know he wasn't
Okay,
really,
but
but he looked like one.
right, okay, but
They're both
you know
blonde. Yeah, they're both blonde. So that was part of it.
that right. So Oliver North was military historian, author. He was a lieutenant colonel in the Marines. He also was a political commentator, television host. He fought in Vietnam, and then he was the a staff member of the National Security Council during the Iran-Contra affair,
Right.
which basically sold it was it involved the illegal sale of weapons to the Ayatollah Khomeini's regime in Iran, in order to encourage release of American hostages that were being held in Lebanon. And then the second part of the plan was to take the money that they got from the arms sales and to help support the Contra rebel groups in Nicaragua.
Right.
Even though they were strictly forbidden according to U.S. law.
Right. To
so
sabotage the Sandinistas. Right. That was the last, I knew there was another word in there that I remember. Sandinistas. I
right.
remember the
term. That's right.
It was right. much more complicated than
yes.
trying to when than living through it was. I remember him being on TV a lot when all of this went down.
Yes, that's true. So I mean, basically, he was granted immunity from prosecution if he would testify before Congress. And then he was originally they were wanted to convict him on three felony charges, but in the end, they dismissed all the charges against him in 1991. So yeah, there's, you know, he worked for John Poindexter, who was the National Security Advisor at the time, and you know, they dealt with Noriega also.
I don't doubt it. Yeah.
Yeah, which again, you know, goes along with what we were talking about—the fact that, you know, that this is supposed to be Noriega. So the idea, more or less, of what they're trying to say here is that, okay, someone like Oliver North
yeah.
is helping someone like Noriega.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it was interesting. It's interesting that they did that. You know, I think it was more prominent at the time than what it is today. Like looking back today, most people that are watching it don't know who Oliver North was. My assumption is that most people in 1990, when they were watching this, were able to make that connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know,
because you know, he was indicted.
I remember.
Yeah, he was indicted in 88. Like this is all happening before the script is even finished.
Yeah.
It kept going.
Right. And the whole idea is okay, this is someone who's in contact with.
Right.
Esperanza or Noriega.
Right.
And, you know, so there is some sort of connection there.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
I don't remember there being like a ruler of Nicaragua at the time, but they maybe just were representing him as the head of the Sandinistas or something like that, that they were going to work for. And then Noriega just became the exact emblem of our Esperanza.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah. No, as I like the fact that they made it very topical for the time.
Very.
You know, again, it's a little lost after 33 years, but it's still you know, it still does make sense to keep that topical like that.
Yeah.
All right, you have anything else you want to say about this before we get into the script?
No.
All right. So again, the script, there's a few changes here, nothing major. But it starts off with saying, but the elevator door closes and Lorenzo turns a key on the control panel, then speaks into his walkie-talkie. So he turns off the elevator with turning that key.
Right.
And then he calls the security and then he basically says, he says to him, get your thumb out of your ass and get over to the elevator. Get them out and post a guard or you're going to have a pink slip in your Christmas stocking. You know, so it's sort of what he's basically saying in the script is make sure no one else gets into the elevator afterwards.
Right.
You know, and then it says McClane punches buttons, but it's on override. And then he screams out. Then Sam asks him, you know, to say something. And then he says, how about f-ing you? As opposed to no, because that's what Stewart said to her.
Right. That is one thing. Why did Stewart go to the airport in the first place?
To see, I think he went to go see that, make sure that the security is a joke.
Oh, that you're right. You're right. He did comment on
reconnaissance.
That. Yeah. Thank you.
Reconnaissance.
Yep. He was doing that little bit of reconnaissance. Although for someone so famous as part of this process, it would be like Oliver North walking through the airport just after all of his television appearances. He would have been recognized.
Right. So. I agree.
That's a silly.
But that's the way they
There's
did it.
There's another one of the, if this hadn't happened, this whole thing, they'd have gotten away with it. Those.
Right. I mean, I remember reading that the reason that they had him there was so that he and McClane could meet so that we don't wait until the very end of the movie for them to meet. And then again, this scene wouldn't have worked if he didn't meet Stewart.
Exactly.
So it sort of makes
It
sense.
does. I.
And then it says when then she says, "I already got that from Colonel Stewart, thanks." And then it says McLean stops as if zapped
Very specific.
Yeah, seriously. It says, but McLean has already jumped up and grabbed the light fixture and now in a gymnast's move, kicks out the ceiling hatch and disappears through the roof.
All right.
Very agile, John McClane.
Agreed.
Yeah. So every Thursday we have a segment called Aviation Thursday, where my guests will give their top five movies that are somehow related to either airplanes or airlines or airports or aviation in general. So, Jess, what have you got for us?
These are not in any particular order, but these are all ones that I really like that connect to this. So just number five is Con Air. I mean, you can't go wrong. You've got a whole bunch
Okay, Jay and Mark are gonna love that one.
of them.
They're you know
Of
Jay,
course.
and you know Mark
Yeah.
too. There you go. You know both. Yeah, you know they're doing the Con Air pod.
Exactly.
So I think it's ending this month. It's ending in July.
Okay.
So anyone should go back and catch all
Yeah.
the episodes that you might have missed. They're a lot of fun to listen to.
It's so good. There's so much that's iconic in that movie and so weird, right? It's Nicolas Cage's weird southern accent mostly.
Yeah, I when I was on their show, I complained about that.
Number four is either version of Flight of the Phoenix. I actually thought the remake was excellent and they did a terrific job in both versions.
Yeah, I'm a bigger fan of the older version of
I
it,
do, yeah.
but I do like the Dennis Quaid version of it because they're able to take a movie from the 60s and make it relevant to I guess modern. I
Right.
mean, I think it came out in 2004,
Yeah.
but they still, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the week that cell phone helps everything. But in that type of movie, they still were able
Right.
to make it seem plausible.
Yeah, absolutely. And update just that little bit of technology, but it's still, can they do it in this really dire situation? This one's kind of on the edge of it because there's no airplane in it, and that's the prompt you gave me, is The Terminal with Tom Hanks. And the idea of just understanding the inner workings of a whole airport and how it works and how it goes through it and how he sort of makes himself part of it while still living there is just crazy. Air Force One with Harrison Ford and Glenn Close is just so weird and perfect as an action movie on an airplane. And then, of course, Gary Oldman as the bad guy is just, I don't know, I love it. I watched it came out when I was in college, and I must have had it on VHS and watched it 100 times. And then my favorite one that's more recent because it's much more like the travel I was doing when I was in grad school and moving around is Up in the Air with George Clooney and Anna Kendrick.
You were going and firing people all around,
Where they
all
went,
over the place.
no, they did. It was more how do you pack perfectly when you have to travel for these extra weekends? I was living in New York City, but I had some contract work that I had to do in Hawaii. So Monday at 5 a.m., I got on the plane for the airport, and then I got home at midnight on Friday, flying to and from Hawaii. And it's like, this is insane. This is someone's job. But it was the same idea. Can you pack perfectly so you don't have to go through? And how many miles can you get? It's the only time in my whole adult life I've been anywhere close to actually counting any airline miles. Otherwise, it never made a difference. But I really like the movie. I think they do a good job. It's sad as all get out and actually hard to rewatch because we've been through that Great Recession. We've been through more problems since. It's much more of a sad movie, but it's just such a well-made movie.
Well, I love the cameos that
Yeah,
they did in there.
that too.
All the people who were getting fired were cameos of, or half of them were real people who'd
Right.
been fired, and half of them were just
Actors,
actors,
yeah.
who,
Zach
that's right.
Galifianakis
And
would have been
J.K. Simmons is
great.
also one of the ones. Great. Thank you very much for that. Do you want to once again tell people where they can find Jess Rogers?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter in_entertain. I talk about movies and I rant about some politics stuff sometimes too.
All right, sounds like fun. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, or you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So, Jess, you feel like coming back again tomorrow to finish off the week?
Oh, we got to see what the last minute holds.
We'll have to see. But, I have a feeling that it's just going to be another basement, another elevator. How could the same shit happen to the same guy twice? I don't know. That's my guess. Until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages, hidden